Welcome to the Niche Pursuits Podcast. Are you ready to discover some niche business ideas that actually work? Well, it's time for a motivational kick to jumpstart your next big idea. Here's your host, Spencer Haas.
Hey everyone, Spencer Haas here with NichePursuits.com. And today I'm going to be doing a solo podcast. It's been a little while since I've done a podcast, and I had quite a few things that I wanted to talk about today. In particular, I wanted to discuss the state of SEO in general, or search engine optimization, along with my own niche site project. I want to give some updates on that, and some future plans and other projects that I have coming down the road. So if you're involved at all with SEO, building niche websites, or any type of online business in general, I think you're going to find a few tips in this podcast useful. At least, I hope so. So let's jump right into it. And overall, again, it's just me and the mic. And so I'm going to keep it fairly casual here today. I've just got a few bullet points that I want to cover and some interesting topics that I'm going to throw in the mix here. So I often get asked, or I read about either in forums or on blogs, about the state of SEO. People, you know, often say, is SEO dead? And, you know, it is a relevant question because Google is always changing how they rank things, but in somewhat of a facetious way, I usually answer, well, go over to Google, type something in, and tell me if you got any results back. Because if you're getting results, that means that Google is still ranking websites, and they always will be. As long as Google's in existence, at least in their current form, they're going to be ranking websites, and they're using a formula to rank those. So yes, SEO is alive and well, but has SEO changed? Absolutely. And so just my quick opinion, I believe that Google, as long as Google's around, they're going to be using a formula to rank sites. And as long as there's a formula, you and I will be able to rank websites. And so we need to pay attention to the industry and what's changing. But SEO is far, far, far from dead. And I'm going to have some specific examples here, not only with my own project, but with a publicly traded company that is heavily focused on SEO that's doing quite well. But back to Google changing how they rank things, I just want to recap last year. The year 2012 was actually quite a rough year for not only me, but SEOs in general, because Google had a couple of big algorithm changes. Panda was a little bit earlier on, but Penguin was another big one in early 2012, about a year ago, that changed how they looked at link building and the use of keyword anchor text and keywords on pages, and really penalized sites for over-optimization. And so not only did I see a lot of my sites no longer rank as well, but lots of other people saw the same thing as well. So overall, I had become accustomed to how I was building niche websites, and then those tactics stopped working quite as well in regards to link building. And so to be honest, towards the end of 2012, the last 4 or 5 months, I really slowed down how many sites I was building and just looked at what was happening in the industry overall, because I was using a lot of automated link building tactics and other things that quite honestly were low quality, and that was a hard lesson that I had to learn, that these low quality automated tactics, you know, certain blog networks and other tools just were not as effective anymore. And so I really slowed down and took a hard look at how I was building niche websites at the end of 2012. So in the beginning of 2013, On the other hand, I started focusing a little bit more on quality content and quality link building. And I'm happy to say that the last few niche websites that I've built have done very, very well. They're ranking at the top of Google. And in fact, my public niche site is currently ranked at number 2 in Google and doing quite well. I'm going to discuss the earnings and traffic and ranking history here in just a second. So I believe that the state of niche websites in general is actually very, very good for 2013. The reality is that you just can't use the tactics that were working in 2011 and even 2012. We need to evolve with the times. So now, whenever I look at, and honestly, when I need some inspiration, I look at other big companies that are doing very, very well with search engines. And there's a few out there. And in fact, there's one publicly traded company, and it's called Demand Media. And it's a very popular company in SEO circles. You've very possibly heard of it. But they're publicly traded on NASDAQ. Their ticker symbol is DMD, Demand Media. And they own lots of large web properties, including eHow.com, Livestrong.com, Cracked.com, and many others. And they also are into domain name registration. They own enom.com. However, what's exciting about this company, at least from my perspective, is that their strategy is essentially the same as my strategy. They just do it on a much, much larger scale than I do. I'm just a small fry building a few sites. But essentially, their strategy, and they've been very public about this, is that they do extensive research, essentially keyword research, and then they are hiring freelance authors, and they're then posting that content on their sites. And so, you know, in particular, if we look at eHow.com, essentially they're doing keyword research, finding, you know, low competition keywords that they believe that they can rank for. Then they're asking authors to write this, and so they pay authors, you know, I don't know how much, $15 an article, $20 an article, or something like that. And then they post up these optimized articles onto eHow.com. And I don't know how many articles that site now has, probably, you know, a million or something close to that. But they rank for lots of these articles in Google naturally, get that free traffic. And then their sites are optimized either with Google AdSense or other ads. It's the exact same thing that I'm doing. And so that's why I look at Demand Media. I see how their stock's doing. I see how their income's doing. And I know that, hey, if they are able to continue to be profitable, then I'm still in a good market. It's just, it gives me a little extra kick of encouragement. So if you want to check out Demand Media, you can do that. But here I am. I'm looking at their income statement right now. They're a publicly traded company, so I can see how much money they had. And I can see that they hit a bit of a rough spot in 2011 and 2012, just like I did. Except they started to do a little bit better towards the end of 2012. And so they actually had an overall net income. Their net income for 2012 was $6,100,000, about $6.1 million, a little bit over that for the entire year of 2012. But if I look at their quarterly data, their last quarter of 2012 was their strongest. It was at about $4.75 million in overall net income, $4.75 million. And I don't see anything for 2013 yet, but I'm guessing that it's even stronger because 2013, well, it's been a good year for me. I'm sure it's been a good year for them as well. And there's other publicly traded companies that are essentially using the exact same strategy. And so I think that if you're listening out there, you need to realize that there's lots of large companies that understand the power of keyword research, optimized content, and then ad-based in-text advertising. And so I throw that out there as a little bit of inspiration for you if you're wondering, hey, is SEO still really working? Can I really make money building niche websites or building larger websites? Yes, absolutely. I'm doing it with smaller niche websites. Demand Media is doing it with larger sites, but really it all boils down to the exact same strategy. So now I want to talk about my public niche site a little bit. As you may know, if you've been reading my blog, that I've chosen a keyword and built a site publicly in front of everyone to watch. And the keyword that I picked was best survival knife. And if you go over to Google right now and type that in, at least as of the recording of this podcast, I'm ranked number 2 in Google for best survival knife. My site is bestsurvivalknifeguide.com. And so I found this keyword that I felt like I could rank for after researching the competition. And I've built optimized articles, content that I believe is very useful. And I've done more than just build articles. If you look at my site on the homepage, I have an interactive chart that reviews actually all of the survival knives, or at least many of the top survival knives that are out there, to help users sort based on size of knife, weight, overall ratings, price, to overall shopping comparison guide that I believe is very useful. And Google is also ranking me well based on overall quality and optimization that I have there on my site. So basically, here's what's happened with my site. I went out and I did a lot of keyword research using Longtail Pro, which is the keyword research tool that I created. You can find that at longtailpro.com. And I found the keyword best survival knife that I felt was low competition based on what I saw in the top 10 results in Google, which obviously is the most important thing that you can do when looking for a potential keyword, is to look at the competition that's ranking in Google. And I wrote an article based on that keyword and created the chart. And I made a mistake early on because I created a chart with 50 knives. And within that chart, I wanted to monetize it with Amazon Associates program. And I actually put two links for each of those 50 results. I had a link on the image and a link basically where they could click to go to Amazon. So I had over 100 or approximately 100 affiliate links all on my home page. And my site early on actually started ranking in the mid 30s or mid 20s or so by about March 5th. The first week of March, it started ranking around 30, somewhere between 25 and 30. I created the site in mid-February. Okay, so without any link building, I was ranking mid-20s or so. But then once I had the chart and all of the links there, I actually got what I believe, and this is debatable, was a Google penalty based on too many affiliate links. So I throw that out there. If you have 100 affiliate links, and this is a lesson learned from me, for me, that's probably too much. So what I did is I narrowed down that chart to about the top 15 knives. And so I only had 15 affiliate links. And I removed the link from the image. So there was only one link for each knife. And my site quickly recovered from that penalty. So it received a penalty on about March 9th and dropped all the way down to 230, 240 position in Google. I removed that chart and replaced it with just 15 of the top knives. And I bounced back within just a few days. And by March 14th, I was back in the mid-20s. So I think that that's pretty good proof that that was a penalty. And if you do research, lots of others have experienced the same thing, that if you have too many affiliate links on your site, Google will penalize that site. And so what I did is I placed that small chart on the homepage, which you can see now if you go over to my site, and put on a secondary page the full chart. And the secondary page is a nofollow, came from a nofollow link, and the page itself was no index. So Google, and I don't care, doesn't even index that page. So, you know, it can't get a penalty because, well, it's not even in Google's index. So that's what I decided to do, and it's appeared to work very, very well. Because as time has gone on, you know, if I look towards the end of March, my site was already ranking on the first page by about March 20th or so. And in fact, much before then, about March 15th, it started ranking on the first page of Google. And by the end of March, I was at the top, about position 3 is what I've been since the end of March until now. And my site is now being the middle of April. I'm now position number 2 within Google. And the overall traffic to my site continues to grow. So as I take a look at my Google Analytics, it's quite impressive the growth that it's had. It's gone from about 300 unique visitors per day towards the middle of March to now, it averages between 400 to 500 unique visitors each and every day. The past 3 days, it's been right at about 500 unique visitors per day. Yesterday, it hit 516 visitors. And most of those are coming from the search engines directly. I do have a number, I would say around 100 visitors a day are probably visitors from my blog because this is a public project. These are people that are typing in the site directly, probably 100 or so. It's hard to know the exact number. You know, 309 visitors are coming from search engines, which is about 60% of the traffic. About 29% is coming from direct traffic, and 10% or so is from referral traffic, people that found me on other sites. And so the traffic is very, very good, and the earnings is continuing to grow. Last month, which was really the first month that I even started ranking, I made about $87. Yeah, it's not a ton, but again, it's a site that was about a month old. This month, through the 15th of the month, so halfway through the month, I've made about $120 with Amazon. And so I expect to hit about $250 this month with just the Amazon Associates program, which is pretty good. My goal is to hit $500 by the end, not by the end, but to hit $500 in just the month of May. That was my initial goal when I set out to do this project. So whether or not I'll be able to do that, I don't know. I think it's going to be close. Here's what my monetization strategy has been and will be going down so that you know what I'm doing. My site is monetized with the Amazon Associates program. People can go directly to Amazon after clicking on one of my links and buy a survival knife. But I also have just created and just put up on my site an email opt-in form. And so what I'm trying to do now is build an email list of people that are interested in not only survival knives, but overall that are interested in the survival niche. And I've already got a few people to subscribe to my list in just the first day. It hasn't even been up 24 hours, and I've got a few people there. But I also plan on adding probably a pop-up form of some sort. So for people that have been on the site for a minute or two, they'll get a pop-up so I can increase the number of opt-ins that I'm getting. But what I'm going to do with that list is I've got four emails in queue. So my autoresponder sends out four emails that right now just takes them to my interactive chart where they can look at survival knives overall. But then those other emails that I have will take them to individual knife reviews right now. So it's just taking them to pages on my site where they can then click on an affiliate link to Amazon, and hopefully I can earn a little bit more commission because I'll have people clicking on additional links and hopefully will be more likely to buy a survival knife. But the long-term goal is I hope to find some other affiliate products. I looked a little bit and didn't find anything that I was extremely happy with at this point, but I'm sure that there's some great either ebooks out there or maybe video products or other online products that teach how to survive in the wilderness or general survival, emergency preparedness. These types of things I'm hoping that I can find and promote to my email list, which in turn will just increase my overall earnings. So that's, generally speaking, my strategy for the site. Now, I do want to talk about content and where I got my content and what my plans are for additional articles as well. So here's a quick overview of my content strategy. Initially, I found that one keyword that I wanted to rank for, best survival knife, and I wrote that page, I created the chart, I made my homepage very stellar, something that is very, very useful, and I think that that's critical. However, for additional articles, I've actually outsourced almost all of that content. I've hired a couple of authors off of textbroker.com. I hired another author independently, and now I'm working with another article on Elance.com is where I found them. And he is a survival and camping expert. This is his life. It's what he does. He's a fly fishing guide. He uses all sorts of knives all the time. So he's very, very knowledgeable. And he also happens to be an author. And so essentially, I'm turning over the website to him as far as content. I have found all of the keywords that I want to target, which, to be honest, are essentially just all the 50 different knives that I've put into my chart. I'm going to have him write individual reviews on all of these knives. And so I've turned it over to him because I'm not an expert on survival knives. I just put together a really great chart that helps people shop for them. So I'm going to have him do individual reviews on all of these knives. And it's essentially hands-free for me at this point. The website, I really don't have much else to do on it. So I've spent a couple of months, and the amount of time I put into it is really not a ton. But he's going to be writing the articles. I'll just read through them, make sure they're good, and hit publish for the most part. I'm not going to really be doing any additional link building. I hired a link building service to do some basic link building for me. But the content strategy, I'm targeting these secondary keywords, keywords that I know people are searching for, which are these individual knife names with review. And, and that's essentially it. So I'm hiring outsourced help to allow me to leverage my time. And I think that that's critical. This will give me the ability not only to fill out the site with more content and to eventually make it more authoritative, but it'll allow me to go out and find additional keywords and build new sites and then replicate the process itself. And so I do want to go into that just a little bit here. I want to speak to specifically what my plans are for my business going forward with additional sites. In a nutshell, I'm going to be doing exactly what I did with this site. My plan is to go out and find low competition keywords, to either myself or ideally be able to hire somebody to write a great homepage, something that is better than any other content that's out there, create a chart or a useful tool or something that will help me stand out from the other sites on Google. And what this does is it allows people to stay on my site a little bit longer. Google sees that stat of time on site is really good, and so they know that my site is really good, and so they rank me higher. But then I'm going to hopefully find one or a couple of authors that can be dedicated to a site and just produce the content for that site on an ongoing basis. And as it's profitable, I'll just increase the amount of content and reinvest in the site itself to make it a larger authority. And so as you can see, my strategy is, again, exactly the same as really what demand media and other companies are doing out there. And I'm trying to scale my process so that I can have multiple sites earning $500 a month, essentially passively for me, and I can just be out the one out there managing the entire process. So I can tell you that if you're listening to this, this is very doable. This is what I'm doing. I'm excited for this year of 2013 to do even more of this because I know that there's lots of keywords that I can rank for, lots of sites that I can build. Now, before I move on, there was one other point that I wanted to hit on with my public niche site project. And if you do want to find out more about my project, you can actually go to nichepursuits.com/project. That's nichepursuits.com/project. And you'll see all of the posts that I've done, including the initial webinar that I held to launch the project before I even knew what my keyword was or anything like that. I've done everything from start to finish. But because the site's doing quite well now, and I hope that it continues to earn more, I want to expand it. And so beyond just getting traffic from Google directly, I want to start getting traffic from places like Twitter and Facebook and maybe even Pinterest. And so this is a little strategy that I'm going to be implementing into my site. I actually have done this before, but I was reminded of this strategy for getting Twitter followers from Cliff Ravenscraft of podcastanswerman.com. I actually was at the Social Media Marketing World conference just last week, and he mentioned this in one of the sessions, and I had forgotten about this, and I think it's a perfect fit for my survival knife site. Essentially, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a Twitter account for this survival site. And to get followers, one way to do that is to go out and follow lots of other people that are interested in survival things. And you can know they're interested in survival things if they're following other survival sites. And oftentimes, if you follow them, they will follow you back. And what this does is obviously they'll then see your Twitter page and with the URL, and you know, you can have some enticing copy there to get them to click, go check out your site, and there you go, you get more traffic to your site. But there's ways to do this so it's not manual. There's I believe it's called Tweet Adder, a tool where essentially you can go out and automatically follow lots and lots of people. And so Cliff, in his session, he was talking about a new podcast that he created, and he had something like 6,000 followers or listeners to that podcast using just this strategy within the first month. Essentially, he would follow up to 500 people per day on Twitter for 30 days, and at the end of the month, he had this 6,000 followers. And so I'm going to do that. I'm going to go out and on Twitter, I'm going to follow lots of people and hopefully get some additional traffic to my site. So we'll see. I'm going to try some of these things, but if things go well, I'll then go out and create a Facebook page where hopefully I can get some new fans and maybe even a Pinterest page. And again, If the site's doing well, I'm going to just pay people to do this for me. I don't want to go out and do that myself. I want to focus my time on finding new sites and better sites and other projects. But my project's going very, very well. Hopefully, you know, me talking through some of these strategies has piqued your interest in some things that you can do as well for your sites. So to recap, to finish off this podcast, I just want to review exactly step by step what I've done to create my niche website. And these are steps that you can follow exactly to go out and create your own niche website. So first I went out and I did some brainstorming. This is just some general brainstorming to find some initial seed keywords. So I just went over to Google and I typed in, I believe, list of hobbies or something. There's lots of different ways that you can brainstorm. You can just go over to Amazon.com and look at different categories or, you know, do more general things like I did. I just looked at a list of hobbies and I started typing in those seed keywords into Longtail Pro. And one of those seed keywords, I think, was knife making. And Longtail Pro generated lots of related keywords, and one of those was best survival knife. So you need to do some basic brainstorming, then you need to do some intense keyword research to not only find additional keywords, but then to really research how difficult the competition is. And so I use Longtail Pro to look at all the different metrics for the top 10 sites in Google. I look for things like low page authority, low number of page links, and if you're using the platinum version of Longtail Pro, you can look at the overall keyword competitiveness, which is just a number that essentially tells you how difficult the overall top 10 results are. But once you pick that keyword, you then go out and, of course, need to buy a domain. The exact match domain wasn't available, so I just added the word guide after it, so bestsurvivalknifeguide.com. So I had that strength of domain, keyword in the domain there. And then, as I explained, I created the primary article with the chart that I wrote myself, and I made that a static homepage. And then I went out and found secondary keywords to round out the site, based on other survival knives and things like that. But then initially, which I haven't covered here in the podcast, is some basic link building strategies that I did. I submitted my site to a few general web directories. And the purpose was of these was essentially just to get some really basic links pointing to my site to let Google know I existed. You know, I don't really expect these general web directories to make me link or rank higher per se, but they give me some diversity of anchor text, of linking domains as I further my link building strategy. So they're good to start off with. And then I also did some basic blog commenting, and I didn't, you know, bother with whether it was a no follow or a do follow blog comment. What I did bother with was whether or not the sites I was commenting from were relevant. So I went out and I found other survival knife or survival blogs, and I read the articles and I made genuine comments. These weren't spammy comments like, hey, check out my site, click here. These were just comments, you know, in my name that related to the content that was on the blog. And so I've made maybe, you know, a dozen to 15 to maybe 20 at the most over, you know, the initial first few weeks of the site's existence. And that's most of the link building that I did, at least initially. Just recently, I went out and hired a link builder to do some basic things like build a couple of Web 2.0 properties, you know, to put up a Squidoo lens, and some other, you know, basic things to build some links to my site. But that's all that I've essentially done as far as link building. And the critical thing that I will mention about link building is to vary your anchor text. I am not using Best Survival Knife all the time. I use it very little. Overall, I'm trying to vary my anchor text. Now, there have been some nefarious attempts by others to build links to my site, which is a whole other story. And if you want to read about that, you can. I believe that there's somebody out there trying to get my site penalized. So they are using my anchor text of Best Survival Knife quite a bit, coming from really spammy looking blogs, which I'm not happy about. But you can read about that again at nichepursuits.com/project, and you'll see a list of posts. One of those posts, I talk about that specifically. So the next step after link building is the content strategy to continue to build up content as you see some earnings coming into your site, and then overall replicating the process. So that's essentially it for what I've done on my public niche site, and I believe that others can do as well. So just a overall, that's what I wanted to cover in this podcast. Hopefully a little bit of motivation. I definitely believe that SEO is alive and well. My sites are doing quite well. There's companies out there like Demand Media and many others that are doing very, very well with the SEO strategy, targeting keywords, hiring authors, and optimizing their sites to rank and get that free traffic. So there you have it. Hopefully a little bit of motivation for your day in your own niche website building or SEO or online business efforts as you're listening. And as well, a few tidbits and updates to my public niche site project that I haven't covered specifically on my blog at this point. So thank you so much for listening. Again, if you want to learn more about the project, it's nichepursuits.com/project. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.